Hello. Good morning. Hi, Shiloh. Good morning. Good morning. Hi. So, if I can have your guys' attention, if you guys can just start to, you know, slowly meander and find your seats. I would just really like for us to, let's just stop for a second and just begin to just stir up a thankfulness to the Lord, just in your own words, just begin to thank Him for today. Jesus, Jesus, we just thank You, Father. Lord, I thank You for this beautiful sunshiny day. God, I thank You for the these beautiful people to celebrate You with. God, I thank You for electricity to be able to cook the spaghetti that's downstairs. You guys, I really wanted to just begin to just stir up our thankfulness for God, because over the last couple days, I've been consumed by spaghetti and just all things spaghetti, like noodles and bread and salad and everything, right? And today, like, my dad came downstairs and he was going to go upstairs with me for something, and I almost went with him to go drop the thing off. I was like, you know, I'm going to go outside, because I just needed to recalibrate my mind. I've been doing everything, like just trying to get this done for the youth and trying to get this done for this and that. And I was like, actually, no, all of this is unto the Lord. Like, I want to do this because of Him. Like, He is our everything, right? And when I started to just, when I went outside, I just started just saying, you know what? Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My heart began to feel peace again. And I started to feel at rest. Even though I still had things to do, I was able to do them with a bit of more joy. You know what I mean? Like, I felt good, and I was like, okay, so if we could just do that right now, just begin to lift up your voice of praise and thankfulness right now as we get started in our worship time with Him. Jesus, 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 we just thank You, Father. Just begin to lift up your voices, lift them up, saying, thank You, God, thank You, Jesus, everything that You're thankful for. Lord, I thank You for parents who take care of their children. Lord, I thank You for this worship set. I thank You, God, for our youth that is running the service today, Father. I thank you just for being loving. I thank You for being faithful. God, I thank You for Your peace. I thank You for being constant. God, for continually calling us by name. Even when we get busy with the day-to-day things and doing this thing and that errand, Father, we might forget to bring You along with us. God, You never forget to come. And I just thank You for that, Father. Lord, I thank You that You think of us first every day. God, I thank You that You made us with a purpose. I thank You that You made us for a purpose. God, I thank You that You made today specifically for a purpose, God, and that we all get to be a part of it. So without further ado, Lord, we just give this praise time to You. Amen, amen.
Overwhelmed by the world. Church was singing it, and it came to the point where this song almost became so redundant that it was just words that were on a screen, at least for me. And I love today that we're singing it on our youth led Sunday morning, because in our youth ministry, our philosophy is we challenge students to go deeper. We don't look at them just for the age that they are, but we challenge them and equip them to go deeper. So this morning, church, I don't know where you are in your faith. I don't know if you're still in you know, maybe you're, I envision like a pool, right? And for those who have not yet dipped their toe in or on the outside, they see the water, they know it's there. They know, I know if I go in there, good things are going to happen. It might be scary, but good things are going to happen. There may be people that are in the shallow end. Like, this is as comfortable as I want to be. I'm just good when it's just over my feet, right? And then you go further and further and further, and this is what it's like to follow God, right? For those of us who have done it for a long time, you're in over your head. Waves are hitting you. You're like, I'm drowning. And I just feel like this morning, church, that God is saying, son, daughter, I'm waiting for you to go deeper. And maybe you're not going to go from the side of the pool to where the waves are hitting you. But maybe you're going to go from the side of the pool just where you dip your toes in. Maybe you're going to go from there to your shins. Maybe you're going to go where you're just waiting a little bit. But nonetheless, I promise you that if you were to take this step, if you were to take this step into the deeper end, Jesus will meet you there. Jesus will meet you there. I promise you that. I can't promise a lot of things in this world, but I can promise you that Jesus will meet you in the deep end, wherever you want to go. So whatever that looks like for you, we're not afraid to fill the altar. If you feel like you need to come up, if you want to do it at your seat, that's fine as well. But I know some of you, you're thinking about this and you're like, wow, I've settled a little bit. I've gotten really comfortable. And Jesus is your comforter. He doesn't want you to stay comfortable though. Amen. So as we go back into this, I just want you to do whatever you're feeling on your heart. If it means to step out of your seat, that's fine. If it means lift your hand, that's fine. If it means sing a little louder, that's fine. Whatever it is, this is between you and the Lord right now. Let's sing this. Thank you so much for who you are. For who you are, God, and that you are so faithful to meet us, Lord, exactly where we are in the season that we are at, God. Lord, that you are patient. You are patient. And even if it takes us years, decades, God, you are there waiting with open arms. I just feel right now we're to pray for the prodigals this morning. if you have a son, a daughter, a brother, sister, dad, mom, friend, somebody who you've just been waiting to know the Lord or to come back to the Lord, I just want to begin lifting them up this morning. Maybe they were in the deep end at one point, but now they're so far away from the pool that they are so thirsty. To God, we just lift up our loved ones to you today, God. And I thank you so much, Jesus, for your patience. I thank you so much, Jesus, Lord, that you don't grow tired or weary while you're waiting for your sons and your daughters to come back, to figure it out, to stop making a mess. Lord, that you're willing to take them in their mess. So we lift them up today, Jesus. We lift up our brothers and our sisters. We lift up our sons and our daughters. We lift up our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our friends, our co-workers. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are ours and that we are belong to you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that we can't go too far for you to bring us back, God, and throw us into the deep end. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you are just so madly in love with your children. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that from the youngest in the room to the oldest in the room, God, that you have a calling on our lives, God. Lord, that you are speaking, Lord, speaking life into each and every one of our circumstances. So we thank you so much, Jesus. We thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for this body. We thank you, Lord, for just all that you're doing and that you're going to continue to do. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Amazing job. Hey, you guys have some beautiful people around you. Give somebody a hug, get some coffee, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
All right. If everyone can please find their seats. So today, this is going to be a youth-led service, and I am really excited for this. But to start us off, we're going to do the Declaration of the Heart of the House. So if everyone could please stand with me and speak this out over our church with authority. Okay, to the first slide, please. All right, all together, church. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and a right mind. And we declare that God, we are, Yakima, one life at a time. Amen. Okay. All right. So Jesus, I thank you for every person that is able to be here today, God. I thank you for our youth group, for our pastors, Eric and Nancy, Jesus. I thank you for what they have cultivated in these young lives, Jesus, including my own. And Father, I just pray that whatever you have for today would come to fruition. And Jesus, I thank you that you are allowing us to be open vessels to do your works. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Guess what's happening?
What?
Spaghetti feed.
Literally.
Okay, so this is a youth fundraiser. It goes to events, camps, food, and fun stuff. Overall, it's everyone can come. If you have five people in a family, then you can just pay $25, and it's seven per plate, and downstairs at 12:15.
Super fast.
And then the last thing is just our offering. So again, like we always say every Sunday, thank you for those who sow into this house. You know, we believe that we believe in this house for the tithe to go to the church, and we believe in a cheerful giver. Amen. And so you can give in multiple ways, whether it's online, onelifefamilyworship.com, or we have a box in the back out there or a box up here, and we just appreciate everybody who sows into the kingdom of God. Amen. So We have a couple cool things happening this morning. As you've already seen, we've brought up a couple of our youth, and we're going to keep doing that. And so first we're going to we have two youth students here that I asked that would share just kind of what God's done in their lives through youth ministry, through our youth ministry specifically. And if you guys don't know this, our youth is made up of majority of the students who go to different churches. And so Sunday morning, they're at a different church if their families go to church, and they might even go to a different youth group throughout the week. But it's been a really cool experience to gather these students and get to see them just grow in the Lord. And so this student that I'm going to have come up, his name's Caleb Palma, and he's been with us you know, pretty much from the beginning. A few months after we started our youth group, we were meeting in our house, and we had about 8 kids, and we quickly outgrew the space. But Caleb came, and he wouldn't say a lick of a word to anybody. He would come and talk to his friends. He had 2 friends that went, and he would come and talk to them only, and I would, Caleb, how are you doing? And he'd like, I'm doing good. And then he'd turn around and talk to his friends. I'm like, okay. But what I've got to see in this young man the last 2 years we've done this is just him go from glory to glory. Because we don't go from glory to good. We go from glory to glory. And I've watched him grow. He's stepped into our leadership. He's done pursuit. He's gone to camps. He's just gone above and beyond. And I love this boy so, so much. And so would you guys do me a favor and welcome Caleb Palma as he shares just a bit.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right. As Eric mentioned, I go to One Life Youth, and I've been here for like 1.5 years now. So, I mean, like, the youth, I can't even, like, describe how it's changed my life. Like, to sum it up, I don't know where I'd be without the youth group, to be honest, because, like, when I first started, like, at youth, I was intrigued because, like, Eric, Nancy, they were chill people. They brought fun games and, like, yeah, it was intriguing. But, like, as it went on, I, like, noticed something different about, like, the youth group that other youth groups provided. Like, other youth groups, like, they had games and stuff. But, like, there's nothing that came out of it after I went to the youth group. And what I noticed with Eric and Nancy is that every time, like, they talked and they had a lesson, it would challenge me, like, to do something different. And the same year, like, close to when I first started, we had a youth camp, and that changed my life because, I don't know, like, before then, like, life was just me and my thoughts being challenged, saying I just got thoughts that I was a failure, that I had to be enough, and I never was going to be enough. But after youth, everything just changed because there I know that I figured out that Jesus died for me. But not only did he die for me, he died for my mistakes. He died for my weaknesses, and that I didn't have to be enough, and he just wanted me. And since then, I've changed. Before then, I didn't even think about worshiping, and now I worship. And yeah, I love worshiping, and I've learned not only biblically, but I've learned how to apply that to my life. I've grown in many gifts. I learned how to, this year, how to speak in tongues. I mean, it wasn't from this youth group, but where I got it, but I know it led up to that, and it was amazing. And yeah, with Eric and Nancy, they're amazing people. I know that they'll be with me, like, for everything, and I love them so much. And yeah, this youth group has challenged me to grow, and I want to continue growing, so thank you.
Wow. I don't know how you follow that, but super good. I love it. And I love specifically too that Caleb mentioned that, you know, it wasn't through our youth ministry specifically that gave him or equipped him in this way. But I don't care. Like I'm not like, oh, but Caleb, you got to get everything from our youth group, right? No, I want him to get closer to Jesus where he's going to get closer to Jesus. If it's at our youth group, awesome. If it's at the youth group down the road, awesome. Like I really don't care. I just want students to get close to Jesus. We just want students to get close to Jesus. So thank you, Caleb. So this next person, he's only been with us for the beginning of this year. I think January is when he first started coming, and but we've known Kyle Blanchard for a minute. He is close friends with our son Caden. He goes to school with him, and he's in Boy Scouts with him, and so we've gotten an opportunity to get to know Kyle. Probably one of the funniest teenagers I've ever met, maybe even the funniest people I've ever met, to be quite honest. And just saw something in him from the beginning that I knew he was just going to be a great fit for our group. And he immediately jumped into leadership. He started coming probably a week or two in and said, hey, I want to be a leader. And so we have a group of about five or six students, and Caleb's included in that as well. And he, without even knowing what that even meant, he just says, I want to do this. And so, Kyle, will you come up? Will you guys give it up for Kyle?
Good morning, everybody. So I do see myself as one of the newer students in the youth group, but like Eric said already, so many opportunities have opened up to me, whether it being a leader now or just building friendships with all the fellow students. But no matter what, every Sunday evening, whenever I go to youth group, the sermons are always very powerful. Whether it be a character in the Bible I already know or a character trait or quality that I know about, I always go home learning something new, and it intrigues me to read the Bible and learn more about it, which is powerful, which is, it's strengthened my faith and my connection to the Lord. So, amen. But just through the four or five months I've been in youth group, the way I look at different problems and solutions now is much different than I would ever, through a more biblical lens. You know, purifying my heart more. If I'm going through a rough time, I can turn to God for anything. And that's what I've learned. Because, you know, 2 years ago, if my life was rough, I would just sit in sorrow. And now I sit with the Lord. So, amen. But so what has youth done for me, and what has God done for me? He's given me a dream. He's given me an aspiration to go to the deepest, darkest places of the earth and spread the light, spread the gospel, which, you know, 15 years old, you don't think about that stuff very often. But with this youth group, with it being youth-led and youth leaders preaching, that's where I'm going to start. So I just want it to be that my Father in heaven can look down at his son who was broken, and everything going wrong, everything going the wrong way. And he's going to say, I chose him for a reason, and he's going to do what I want him to do. So, yeah. Yeah.
It's over on that wine thing. It's over there. Thank you. Awesome. Super, super good. It's right over there by that light. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to switch to this mic, Jesse. Check, check. Super good. Super, super good. So I'm just going to say a few more things for a few minutes. I don't want to take up a bunch of time from our next speaker, but you guys, this is the dream. This has been the dream for a long time. Is equipping youth students, equipping the youth of this generation. Downstairs, we were praying, which, small plug, everybody's invited to pre-service prayer every Sunday, 9:45 downstairs. We have a prayer room, and we were praying, and we had a few of our youth down there, and Timmy was down there as well. And Timmy was one of our OG youth students back in the day. He was about 12 years old when I first started stepping into youth ministry. And And he was the worst. No, I'm just kidding. He was amazing. there were worse than you, for sure. But I had this moment when we were down in the prayer room, because that prayer room was what we called our J12 room. So we would meet down there Sunday mornings after worship, and we had like upwards of 15 junior high boys and girls that we would teach Jesus. I don't really know what I said. I was 24 years old, and they said, teach these kids. And I was like, all right, cool. But I had this moment of standing in that same room where I started doing ministry with a bunch of my current youth students and one of my older youth students, and just realizing, wow, what a journey it's been. And I don't do this because for the glamour, for the fame, for the paycheck. That's a joke because I don't get paid. Okay. And so I'm still waiting for that raise. But I do it because I have such a heart for this generation. I believe that the church will only move forward if we get the youth. Without the youth, the church is just a bunch of old people that will eventually die. Okay. And I'm not saying we don't need older generations. We need all generations represented. We really do. But I want to emphasize this, is that if you, because I know some people look at youth students and they almost have this disdain for them, right? Maybe it's because of their childhood when they were in junior high or when they were in high school, or maybe it's because they've just had just horrible experiences with youth students. Because let's be honest, youth teenagers can be the worst. Like, I've done this for 15 years now, and I've experienced some horrible teenagers, okay? Horrible teenagers. You just want to, like, I just want to fight you right now, right? Okay? But I just believe so much in this. Nancy and I believe so much in this that this is why we continue to do it. This is why for the first, like, what was it, 8 months of this youth ministry, we're willing to give up our living room and just pile in as much youth students that would come. This is why we're willing to give up our evenings and give up our vacation days to go to camp and give up our, you know, time. And it's for no other reason than we believe so much in the youth of this generation. And I want to just talk really quickly. I'll just share really briefly about this. You guys have heard of Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When we meet Daniel, okay, it doesn't say specifically, but Daniel's a teenager. Daniel's a young man. When we meet Daniel again in Daniel 6-ish, Daniel's in the lion's den, he's an old man. How does Daniel in Daniel 6 make the decision to keep doing what he was doing, which was praying to the Lord, which led him to being thrown into a lion's den, sacrifice his life? How does he make that decision at 80 plus years old? Because he made that decision when he was 17. How does he make that decision when he's an old man? It's because when he was a young man, he already made the decision. And so this is the reason why we pour into young people, because we say if they can make this decision now at 13, 14, 15 years old, then we won't have a bunch of broken adults trying to raise families, broken men, broken women trying to raise families. They won't be the statistic where when they graduate high school that 70% of them will leave not the church, the faith. That's right now what we're dealing with. 70%, they don't just stop coming to church, they stop believing in Jesus. That's a scary reality. And so the little part that we can do, we're going to do it with passion, we're going to do it with intentionality. We don't believe in any junior Holy Spirit where we just say, hey guys, let's just eat some pizza and tell you about Jesus. No, we're going to challenge them, we're going to teach them how to hear from God, we're going to teach them how to prophesy, we're going to teach them how to heal the sick, we're going to teach them how to cast out demons, we're going to teach them how to go after this stuff, because it's not a game we're playing. And yeah, we play games and we throw soccer balls at each other, and Katie, who's one of our leaders, gets hit in the face sometimes, and that's okay. All for the kingdom of God. Amen? Super good. So I get the privilege. I can do this without crying. Okay. This next young man. This next young man
He's my best friend. And I'm so proud of him. And there's a video online from about 12 years ago. He's standing right here. He's in this like dorky vest outfit. He's like 1 year old and he's chunky. And he's worshiping God. He's dancing. And it's this beautiful video. And I've just got to watch my son grow up. And he's far from grown up. Super far. But he's become such a powerful man of God. And he challenges me. And he keeps me accountable. And so I asked him if he would bring a word today. And of course, he was about it. Because he has a vision to step into ministry, whatever that looks like in the future. And I just believe pouring into this generation so much. And God spoke to me years ago about your son. Your son is the one that you're pouring into. Regardless if you preach to millions of teens or not, your son is going to be the most important one that you pour into. And so, without further ado, I get to introduce my son, Caden. If you'd come up and share the word, if you guys give it up for Caden.
So good. So good. I'm speechless because it's so awesome to just see how God has been able to work in our youth group and in me specifically as well. Just throughout the years, he's done so much for my life. And it's awesome to just see the change of mindset and the change of heart. As I'm getting older, I'm learning more and I'm feeling the calling on my life get stronger. And so it's all through this youth group. So before I start, if I could actually have Dad and Mom, if you guys could come up here, please. I just want to pray over you guys and just thank you guys for the amazing things that you've done throughout the years of you guys leading youth group. And so if everybody could just extend their hands towards my parents and pray for them. Lord, I just thank you so much for these willing vessels. And I just thank you for all the things that they've done for our youth group, Lord. And I just declare that for the years to come, Lord, for even just tonight, that they would begin to just feel more and more and more love for this youth, Lord. And I just thank you. I just thank you so much for the amazing things that they've already done and the amazing things that they are going to continue to do. And that they are just amazing people. And I just thank you so much that you blessed me with these awesome people to be my parents. And that they will continue to guide youth and guide me to be the best me that I can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, as I was coming up with my message this week for what I was supposed to talk about, I was kind of struggling to come up with like a specific topic. I had like a bunch of things in my mind that was like, I could preach about this. But I kept forgetting to ask God what he thought about it. And through that, a message kind of sprouted up about trusting him and making sure that you're asking him what you're supposed to do. So specifically, as I was coming up with my message, I began to pray. And I was praying, but I was just kind of talking. I was kind of talking to air. I wasn't really praying with intention of hearing something back. And so I wasn't getting anything back. My mind was closed. My heart was closed. And I was just, I had something on my mind. I was like, I'm just going to preach this. I'll just preach this, which is fine. But it wasn't. And I heard God tell me that the reason I'm not hearing anything back is because I'm not opening my mind. How are we supposed to hear a response from God if we're not opening up our ears, we're not opening up our mind, and we're just praying? We're just praying to pray. And so through this, the message that he told me was about trusting him and just telling him that he's got it, because he does, right? So let's see. If you're not opening up your mind, how is he supposed to respond, or how are you supposed to hear what he's saying? When you pray, you want to pray believing. You don't want to pray hoping. So when you pray, you're not going to be like, man, I'm just going to throw this prayer out here, and I hope that he hears it. You're going to pray believing that you're going to hear something in response. You're going to pray, and you're going to wait, and you're waiting. Even if you pray for something, and 5 years later, it comes to fruition, you were believing all 5 years, right? Rather than hoping, and then you pray for something, and you're like, man, I really hope God hears this prayer and does it to me right now. And sometimes he will. Sometimes he'll give you the fruition right there. But sometimes we have to be patient, and we have to wait a certain amount of time. And if we're not believing in that time, then we will begin to go off on a different path, a path that he didn't want us to go on. So the important thing is that whenever we pray, we're believing and not hoping. It's very tempting, but it's dangerous, because if you say something that God didn't really want you to say, then you begin to ear please. You're just pleasing your own ears, and you're trying to please everybody else's ears and not his, which is the only ones that truly matter, right? And so whenever you say things that God didn't want you to say, it can be dangerous, because you are now not saying that he's got it. What I mean by that is, trust him because he's got it, right? We as Christians, we have a calling of faith on our life. We have to have faith. We have to have faith in him. Okay. We need to have faith in him. What is faith, right? My dad says this all the time. Faith is risk. Faith is taking risks. Because if you're not taking risks, then you might question if you truly have the extent of faith that God wants you in your life. So you could say, I have all the faith in God. I believe in him. But what if I ask you to go pray for that person over there? What if I ask you to go give that prophetic word that you have on your heart to that person in the drive-thru, right? So that's when it really comes to test, is you may say you have faith in God, but if you're not willing to take a risk, then you're not seeing it at the full extent that God wants you to, right? Now, if you're not feeling faith for him right now, my goal isn't to make you feel ashamed like you've done something wrong, because it takes time. It takes practice. You're not just going to get this right away where you're immediately going to go out and be preaching the gospel to everybody, and you're going to give every prophetic word that's on your heart, and you're going to pray for every person that you feel like you need to pray for. But the important thing is that you're trying, and that you're practicing, and you're exercising, right? Because just like an athlete, they need to practice every day. They practice sometimes over the weekends, but every day of the week they're in there. They're in the gym for multiple hours. They're on the field. They're on the court, and they're getting better, right? So how are you supposed to get any better if you're only practicing one day a week? How are you supposed to get any better if you're only practicing on a Sunday morning? Sunday mornings are great. And they can give you a little bit of the practice that you need, because you're exercising your mind by reading the Bible and you're getting a word in your heart. But that's one day of the week. What are you going to do whenever it comes to Monday, right? And you feel that calling, like, I need to go pray for this person. Are you going to go and do it? Are you going to practice? Or are you going to stay stagnant and wait until Sunday, right? So a scripture that I have for this, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So trust the Lord with all of your heart, and not on your own understanding. That doesn't mean trust the Lord with a little bit of your heart. That doesn't mean trust the Lord with all your heart whenever you want to, whenever you feel like it. That means trust the Lord with all your heart, all the time, right? Lean not on your own understanding. That goes right along with it. If you're leaning on your understanding, are you truly trusting in him completely? Your own understanding is a worldly view. He's going to see it from a different perspective that you never can. So you need to make sure that you're trusting him with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding, right? So this is a common scripture, and it can easily be overlooked because it is a common scripture. But what I challenge you guys to do is, when you get home, think about this, right? Don't read this and say, oh, okay, I'll trust God later. I'll trust God with all my heart, you know, tomorrow. Start now. Start today. When you get home, begin to trust him. Begin to ask questions. Begin to have the faith in him that you aspire to, right? And so what I want is, I want you to know that God's waiting for you. So what are you waiting for, right? God's waiting for you. He's always going to be waiting for you to take that next step. And he's there, and he's with you, right? So take the next step. What is holding you back? What is holding you back? And once you recognize what is keeping you, what that wall is that's keeping you from wanting to take that step forward, you're then going to have to remove that from your life, right? Push it out of the way, right? He's a way maker. He's going to break down every wall, right? He's going to get rid of every shadow just to find you. So do the same for him, right? Break down that wall and get to God. So let's see. This church is all about going with the flow of Christ. Specifically, like on Sundays, especially during worship time, is a big time that we go with the flow of what He wants. Like we're listening with Him, we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, and we have our ears open and our hearts open and our minds open to whatever He needs us to do. So, like during worship, we have a set list that we plan, usually of 3 songs, but usually we only sing 1 to 2 of those songs that we actually have planned, and we go over to new songs. And that's because that's the calling that we feel from Holy Spirit. You don't just want to do it to be edgy or cool. You want to do it because it's actually what the Lord is calling you to do. So you could hear this and say, okay, trust the Lord with all my heart. All right. I need to now throw away all the schedule and uniformness that I have and just fully follow Him. And if that's what you're feeling, like if that's the calling on your life, great. But for those of you who feel something different, I don't want you to just go amok and just start running around with no purpose. I want you to make sure that you're in your word, you're praying about it, and you're listening to what God has to say, because He's always going to have something to say about what you need. The Bible says to have many advisors, right? So many advisors meaning people in your life that have an authority, people in your life that can know you on a Christian level, on a spiritual level, and they can give you advice on whatever situation you're in. So you don't want just anybody that's going to appeal to your pity, anybody that's just going to appeal to your confusion. You want somebody that's going to actually be able to help guide you, right? You want many advisors that are going to be able to help guide you, right? You want to be in your word. The word is basically an instructions manual for our life. God wrote this with intention of us reading it. And so when we read it, there's always going to be something in the Bible that whenever you read it, you're going to be able to get something out of it if you want to. You're only going to get as much out of it as you put into it. So if you're just reading your Bible and you're like, I'm reading my Bible because Pastor told me to do it on Sunday, then you're probably not going to get anything out of it. There's just another book that you're reading. But if you're reading the Bible with intention, and if you're reading the Bible and you're praying about it and you're asking God questions about it, then that's whenever you'll begin to see the fruit of it, right? The fruit of the word. And so it's very important that whenever you read your word, you're not just reading it to read, but you're actually reading it to get something out of it. And so, yeah, it's so important. I think one of the biggest things that can happen in Christianity is we begin to forget what our calling is too, because you can have all the faith in God that you want, but if you don't recognize your calling and what He's asking you to do, then like I said, you're just going to be running amok with no purpose. And so praying about it, asking God, and being in your word. So I am going to then pray us out, and if I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. So, Lord, I just thank You so much for the amazing people that gathered here today in this room. I just thank You so much for the word that You put on my heart, and that the youth were able to express themselves and what God has done for them, Lord. And I just declare that more and more testimonies would begin to come out of this youth group, that more and more people would begin to trust God in the level that You want them to, Lord. And I just pray that whenever people go home, that they would just, they would feel new. They would feel fresh and something ready to go, Lord. And I just thank You so much that everyone in this room is going to leave with a pebble in their shoe, something to think about, Lord. And I just thank You so much that You are good, and that you are already working in these people's hearts. We love You so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Darling.
We're going to keep worshiping. Just really feel like God's not done. I hope you guys were challenged today. I hope you guys were maybe even convicted today. Not by Caden, but by Holy Spirit. I don't know about you guys, but to sit under a 12, almost 13-year-old tell me that I need to do better in my faith does something to my spirit. And so I just don't want us to leave this place just because we went through the motions. We did our worship. We did our greeting. We drank our coffee. We got the word. And then now let's go home or let's go eat spaghetti. We're going to do that. But I just don't want to skip this moment. And I feel like Jesus still has something for us today. So if you guys will stay in this place as we posture our hearts towards Jesus. Not just sing songs, not just read lyrics on the screen, but actually posture our hearts towards Jesus and allow Him to speak to us today. Allow Him to guide us today. Some of you have been looking for answers, and God is saying, "Child, hear me today. Hear me in this moment." Let's worship, church.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, but it's all. you, Jesus.
We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that it is all about you. That everything we do, God, I pray would be all about you. Lord, I pray right now that if there's anything in my life, Lord, that I've not made about you, God, you would show me today, Jesus. God, I pray that my heart, God, my heart, Lord, would be completely submerged in your presence. And whatever part of my world has not come back to the heart of worship, God, Jesus, show us right now. Show us those areas. Jesus, we thank you for the time that we've got to worship you, God. And I just pray, Jesus, that every heart in this place would be filled to the brim, God, and overflowing with your love and your kindness, God. That there's not one person in this room, Lord, that wouldn't feel loved by you. There's not one person in this room that wouldn't know how passionately you are in love with them. How passionately and overwhelmingly you are in love with them, that we can't even understand, Lord, with our human minds, the amount of love you have for us, God. Even the love we have for our own spouse, the love that we have for our own children, the love we have for our best friend, God, we don't even, it pales in comparison to the love you have for us. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for this, Jesus. And so we bless today, God. We bless our time together. We bless this word, God, these testimonies that we shared, God, or that were shared, that the word that Caden shared, God, I pray that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, God, but we would actually do something, Lord, and that this house would be a house of risk takers, that this house would be a house full of people full of faith, God, that when situations arise, God, this house wouldn't be a house that gets scared and starts looking for human mind solutions of how to figure this out, but we would have heaven's mind. Lord, we would have heaven's solutions, God. Lord, that we would take risks and steps with you, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this house. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for our youth group. Thank you for every student, God, that calls this place home. Thank you for every family represented, Lord, on a Sunday morning and family represented on a Sunday night. And we just thank you for the great opportunity we get, Lord, to minister to your children, Jesus. And we just thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Once again, can we just give it up for our worship team, our youth students? Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that they have taken time to just sow into the house, and I love it. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give a little bit of direction. We have a spaghetti feed happening downstairs, if you're not aware, like Nate said. However, we can't go down there quite yet. So youth students at this time, I would ask all the youth students to head downstairs and meet Nancy in the kitchen, for those of you who are going to be helping. And we get to hang out. We drink coffee, just to put on some music, and we'll head down, let's say, around 12:10. And we have, I'll be down there with the ability to take money, whether you have cash or card to pay. It's $7 a plate, or for a family that's five or more, it's $25 total. And what? You can pay as much as you want. You can pay $100 per plate. Glory to God. No questions, please. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I love you. Yes, with every plate, you'll get a raffle ticket. And then if you want to purchase more tickets after that, you can. And then we'll go from there. Okay? Love you guys. See you guys in a bit.